Energy is universal. Would you believe that?
Yes.
Energy is universal. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. The thought for today, energy is universal. Now, we have all thought about energy, electrical energy, magnetic energy, all the types of energy that it takes to make love to somebody, all the types of energy that it takes to run a household, all the types of energy that it takes to bring up a golden retriever puppy who constantly wants to be hugged, who constantly wants to have your attention, who constantly wants to tell you that you're the most wonderful guy in the world and he wants to be with you, who constantly tells you, I want to go outside, who constantly says, I want to be inside, who constantly says, I want to be in the pond where the fish are, who constantly says, I am on my way to China. And he has begun his first adventure on that trip. He's gone down at least 1 foot in the backyard, and he's on his way. And I'm sure every day he's going to go out there and maybe go down a little further. But he is just having the time of his life. And he is not dirty, but he picks up all the little weed seeds because it's not spring, but on the mountain it's always spring. And little seedlets are falling off of the manzanita trees and a little sticky, and they get in his paws and get in his underside. And whenever he comes in the house, we have to take the brush and clean him off so that he gets halfway decent and doesn't get it all over everywhere. And me too. So, that's energy, huh? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of energy. And he runs out of energy, bunk, like that, and goes sound asleep.
Like
and then, however many minutes later, it seems like only a minute. I'm sure it's maybe about 20 minutes later. He wakes up, yawns and stretches, and then all of a sudden he turns on the switch. Boom! and he's positive energy, dashing around, having a good time, just enjoying himself to pieces. Now, energy is universal. Where does this energy come from that a little child or a dog or people have in themselves? Some people are indefatigable. They have an energy that just does not stop. They have an energy that goes on. And I think that energy might be called a lust for life, a joy in living. Now, does everyone have a joy in living? Everyone can. But does everyone have it? No. I would say the majority of people don't have a joy for living. Now, as I was walking up the path this morning to breakfast, I was thinking, isn't it wonderful that young people have young bodies that are just capable of doing anything? And they have the attitude they're going to live forever. And they live that way, and they're wonderful. And then I remember a friend of mine who said that one of his friends, who was an Indian, had been out swimming with his friends after school, and he dove into a quarry, and he went clunk on a rock that was underneath there that they didn't see, or something, and killed him. And here he was, you know, 17 years old, prime of his life, body in perfect shape, just athletically sound and wonderful, his mind top of the class, a wonderful, beautiful person, and then clunk like that, he's off to another dimension. And you say to yourself, isn't that sad? Isn't that too bad? Isn't that a shame that this young life has to be wasted by an accident like that? And of course, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You look at all of these young people that we continually send to war, who die on the battlefields. And you know, you look at the people who are statistically quoted as dying in battle and dying in wars, and the majority of them will be young people from, say, 17 to 30, you know. And they're young people, and they're in the prime of their life. And yet they have chosen to go on to another dimension that early, now, in from their perfect bodies. And you see, four-year warriors, they only choose young people with perfect bodies. They don't take people with any illness or any problem in their body. They want perfect people because they have to have a perfect fighting machine. Well, how interesting. How very interesting that this energy that is so powerful in young people has to be misused like that and put into battle. Here we have the men and women who have lived good long lives, and they should go out in battle. They should go out to war. All these men and women who are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, they should go to war. I mean, let's clean up the old buzzards, you know, get rid of them. Because they're the ones, basically, who are making the wars. Then, you know what would happen? Then these old buzzards, which includes me, then these old buzzards would begin to think, I don't really want to go to war. I don't really want to go to battle. What would be an alternative to war? An alternative to, see, here you got these thinking people, not just the young energy that's going to go out and win contests and you know, fight and do these other, various other things that young people oftentimes want to do, without not necessarily thinking about it, but without being in charge. So here you got all these old bucks, you know, the generals and the ladies too, as well as the men. And they say, hey, it's not too cool to go to war. It's not too cool to lose our life. I mean, you know, who knows? I don't feel that bad. I really am enjoying my life, and I'm earning good money. I don't want to die. And so they say, I think we'll change our program a little bit. And so then these generals and these presidents and these ambassadors, there's a lot of women ambassadors, and they're usually pretty good. And these ambassadors and people who go around the world balancing the world and bringing peace, they begin thinking. They begin taking their energy. And instead of thinking of ways to win a battle on the battlefield, they think of ways to win the battle for peace. How should they think to bring about peace on earth? Well, of course, it's a matter of their own consciousness. And if every general and every officer and every military unit in the world were told to take 10 minutes, 10 minutes at any moment in their time, and say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, you know what would happen? They wouldn't have any wars to fight, because peace would reign. They would take that energy that they are, and that universal energy is present everywhere, and put it to work on peace. Okay? Now, here we have these wonderful advanced minds of men and women who have trained themselves through the colleges and universities of the world, who have trained themselves through practical common sense, you know, and normal attitude of being a loving and gentle people, and they start thinking, hey, I cannot see myself going out and getting shot, you know? That's why the generals always wait in the background. They're the brains, you know, they don't go out and get shot, you know? And just the king who goes out and gets shot, because he wants to lead his men in battle, because it's him that wants the other country, it's him that wants the other nation, it's him that's protecting his people, that sort of thing. He's got that image, and that's okay. But you don't see any presidents doing that. When's the last time you saw a president or a dictator out on the battlefield, out on the leading on the battlefield? Not at all, you know? Not at all. They're going to sit back in their rocking chair and watch the show and say, interesting. Now, energy is universal. And the energy that's in all of these intelligent men and women who are I don't want to say past their prime, but who are in the age of being leadership, you know, top leadership. Let's recognize in our little way, which is a very big way, that all the leaders on earth are interested in peace, are interested in harmony and love, are interested in negotiating. Now, let's just look at any crisis in the world. Here we have the world, and we have on the world the fact that we should have, the term for it, we should have people, the rights of people. Every person has a right to live and the right to be treated like humanitarian rights, you know. And so we see one nation not giving humanitarian rights to its people. So we go in and talk to them. And we say to them, we have all agreed.
I haven't agreed. Our country is not a part of that organization.
I haven't agreed to humanitarian rights for everybody. This is the way our country runs, and this is how we do it, and I'm not going to do it. And then you say, well, so be it. So be it. If that's the way you want to run your country, go ahead. And so you can do many things. You can do many things. You can have no more economic negotiations with that country. You can no longer send them food or buy product from them. Let them take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You can make them realize that when they do not want to play the game of the rest of the world as a humanitarian world, then they're not in the program. You know, they're not in the program. Their money cannot buy anything on the world market. Their oil cannot buy anything on the world market. We don't want their oil. We don't want their money. We don't want their product. We don't want anything that they have. Well, we can get along. If that country were to blow up, we'd be without it. Well, now just think of it as having blown up. But there's redemption. When the a country realizes that its economic base is being put on, you know, on hold, it doesn't like that. Because all of their money, all of their power, all of their beingness is of no use. Mm-hmm. And there's no arms are sent to them anymore. No nation on earth is allowed to send them any arms. No one's allowed to deal with them. They are in quarantine. And not that we would let them starve, but they're in quarantine. And we will not do business with them. We might be humanitarian with them, with our Red Cross, and with our food supplies, World Health Organization, what have you. We wouldn't let them die for lack of the modern facilities we have, but we would not do economic business with them. And you can be sure, it wouldn't be too long before they would be at the negotiation tables and would be negotiating to be harmonious with the other nations of the world. That's just the way it is. And you see, when that happens, but that takes a lot of confidence in the other nations believing themselves. And that takes nations like Russia and others who have not been cooperative, who send arms to countries that shouldn't, and then they use it against against them. It's like in the Second World War. All of the tanks, all of the airplanes that the Japanese had, they built with American steel because we've been selling it to them over the years. And hey, that's great. But when we were at war with Japan, did we ship them product? Did we have negotiation with them? Were we having economic intercourse with them? Not at all. So why not have a war of economics instead of a war of guns? Mm-hmm. It would be just as effective, if not even more effective. And all of the young men and women who are so beautifully created and so young and so strong and so perfect in form and mind and body, they can live on. And you see, just looking at it on the impractical, practical disgusting level that I'm going to present to you, we kill off all of the number one human beings on Earth as young people going to war. Every 20 years, we seem to just destroy them. We destroy the base of our society, of the strength, what do you call that, where people die, the survival of the fittest. We destroy the fittest so that the unfittest have the children, and with them they have all of the unfortunate negative genes that are put into people, and so people are working them out. And we spend a lot of time doing medical things when we are just taking the prime meat, you might say, the prime product, and throwing it away and using the imperfect product, which is the 4F, so to speak, the unmilitary people who can't go to war because their bodies are not perfect, or their minds are not perfect, or whatever. And those are the people out of which we raise our generations. Now, I know this sounds very cold and very bad, but really, that's what we're doing. Now, if, for instance, we had no more wars, and only our prime humans in physical form and mental form were to continue being there, then the genius of many of these people who are left behind, if we think that we have a lot of geniuses today who have come up with limited chromosome gene structure in their body, imagine what we'd have if we were to have the best of the human form propagate itself. You know, imagine. I know this is like Hitler with the Aryan race sort of thing, but it's not. It is like the various nations who have a genocide and so forth, but it's not that. All this is just the practical thing that when you have a runt dog, you keep the dog from propagating because you don't want more runts. You want the perfect dogs that are going to produce perfect things. Well, you can't compare dogs and people. No, but the symbol you can. The symbol you can. And I won't go into a deeper discussion on this because it would only lead to a lot of interesting feedback. But the point is, unto him who hath is given, and unto him who hath not, even the little he has is taken away. So, when you're saying, I am perfect, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, you're saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body because that's where the energy wants to percolate. And the energy doesn't want to percolate in your unideal spirit, mind, and body. And your ideal spirit, mind, and body is not necessarily an outpicturing of a physical body that's perfect. It can. Or a mental body is perfect. It's an outpicture of an idea that's perfect. And when that idea takes a hold, when its time has come, nothing can stop it. Now, do you think that perhaps we might be coming to that time?
Yes.
And it's not a matter of killing off the people who are less than perfect and keeping only the perfect ones. There is a statement among the blacks today which is quite interesting. And one of our students is the one who said it, in fact. I mean, in fact, many others have too. But he said, the day is coming when there will be no races, when there will be intermarriage between all colors and all cultures, and all people will be the same. And there will be no blacks and whites and reds and yellows and whatever different colors people there are. They'll all be one. They'll all be a beautiful blend. Now, that seems utopian. That seems interesting. But The concept is very good. The concept is very good from the point of view that then that would be one less area upon which man would judge whether he wanted to have a relationship with a person or not. And of course, that's a major one. That's a major one. And you look at a lot of cultures, and you look at some of the people in those cultures, gorgeous people, gorgeous people. And you look at other cultures, and you look at them, and you think, they could stand to be like those people. But with this intermarrying between all the cultures, that day could well come. And what was the story in the Bible? The story of the Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel. And the tower was made because the people of earth were so unhappy with each other. They were all trying to run each other's lives, that the divine created them all speaking different languages. Now, of course, they all didn't speak different languages. There are only so many to go around. But then they went off. The Italians went here. The Germans went there. The English went there. And they all went to their various areas, presumably, to live it. But this was another way of the biblical storytellers to tell how, because of the confusion of mankind and not really knowing that it is the one God, universal in all, that they all had to be made to speak different languages. And of course, that was repeated again in the story of Jesus in the upper room, where everyone spoke in tongues. And it was a similar type of thing. But what does it really mean? Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? That's a naughty. He took the basket off the shelf and started to play with it. And he's an older dog. He knows better than that. But you see, Sylvia went over to him and kicked him across the room and said, "You stupid dog, you're crazy, you're dumb." And she went to him and took the basket away. No. And no anger, no unhappiness, just a firmness. So we're going to appoint Sylvia as our first ambassador from the United States here to go around the world to bring peace and love and order to all. And she is energy, using the universal energy to bring this all about. I think we're quite blessed.
Yes.
So, energy is universal. I digressed, but let's see it as the message of peace in all the world, now and forevermore. I love you, I love you, I love you.